Please be seated. Let us all say amen. Amen. Church, we serve a God that is a kind, that is a merciful and a loving God. Amen. But do not be deceived. Paul said, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Good to see each and every one of you this morning. I just really hope and pray that all is well with you. I have had some R&R and I am ready and willing to do what thus saith the Lord. Even though I was ready before I went on vacation, I'm really, really ready now. You know, it's just something about being able to get away and just look at life in general. I often wondered why Jesus would withdraw himself from his disciples and from the people. And I found out that he did that so he could renew his spirit with his Father and remind himself of why he really came to earth. He came to reconcile me. And I'm so glad that he came to reconcile you too if you let him. But he came to reconcile me from my old sinful nature. And you know, and I'm a firm believer that as God's children, we need to constantly remind ourselves of who we are, who we belong to, and what God really requires of us. This text that we've been looking at in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is a troublesome text to me. You know why? Because I have to look at me and not you. I have to be willing to correct me and not you. Oh, somebody say amen. Somebody know what I'm talking about. And so this text here requires that I look at things from the eyes of Jesus Christ and that I understand that God has called me from darkness to this marvelous light, and he's given me something that can help mankind. He has given me the words of life, peace, happiness, if you will embrace it. Powerful text here. Title of my lesson this morning, an ambassador never, 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 never looks back. I want you to see that as ambassadors, he never looks back. Now, his past, he's reminded of his past. But you know what the past does to the ambassador of Christ? It pushes him. It elevates him. It moves him to a higher plateau. Why? Because if anyone knows about his past, it ought to be each and every one of us. And that ought to motivate us to remind ourselves, because you were sinners, saved now by the grace of God, boy, you ought to be a totally different person. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, Paul said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Paul also said in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, but thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Romans chapter 5. See, you got to make sure that the preacher stays on track with this book. That's why Jeremiah gives you all these scriptures ahead of time, so you can go back and make sure that he's saying what he's saying. But as children of God, we must not just listen and get caught up with the message of the messenger, but we need to get caught up with the message, because that's what's important. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died. And so this morning, as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to encourage us and remind us that an ambassador of Christ never, 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 never looks back. And the reason he never, ever, never looks back is because he's always focused on the cross. Yeah. And I'm learning that when you line yourself up behind the cross, you don't worry about what's behind you. You know, sometimes we're so worried about everything. Can I get a witness? Anybody want to witness that? We're so worried about everything but our soul salvation. And that's the most important thing we ought to be not worried about, but we ought to have some confidence and some assurance of where you're going to spend eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 17, Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to which that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. And I challenge you, as this week unfolds, I challenge you to go out and make yourself available to somebody you don't know and see if you can help them to be reconciled to the Father. But see, you can't do what you are not doing. Mm-hmm. Amen. See, it's hard to preach this if you're not living this. It's hard. Y'all quiet. I must be on the right note there. Because as believers, if we're going to change the world in which we live in, I'm learning you got to change it one person at a time, just like you eat an elephant. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And that's how we change the world. And I'm learning, in order for me to change the world, I got to first and foremost start in my own household. Amen. Amen. And I'm learning that when you can do it in your household, it's going to spread from there. But Paul here writes these words to remind the believer that God has given us this ministry of reconciliation. Verse number 20 says, "Now then we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We plead you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. For he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God." Do you realize what that's saying there? That the world is in a mess, but we're not. I better say that again. The world is in a mess, but we're not. Why aren't we in a mess? Because we are the righteousness of God. So that means as the righteousness of God, we got to live up to something, don't it? I don't know how you treat your family or how you do in your household. But in my household, when my kids leave my household, you know what I tell them? You represent. Okay. Huh? No lying. Mm-hmm. No cheating. No stealing. No back. Right. Y'all don't do that in your household. Maybe that's why the household is messed up. I'm just saying. Because I'm learning, church, that if they represent me the right way, somebody will be drawn to the cross by their example. When we train our children, when we understand what's really important, and I'm learning that maybe because I'm getting close to the grave. I can see the grave. Y'all don't see it? Oh, well, you better see it. You better see it, because guess what? You got to give this up. I don't care. And you know what? Every funeral I've done, I've never seen a U-Haul behind the hearse. Nope. You ain't even taking the body. You're going to leave this. And so that behooves us, church, to understand what God has really called us into be. See, as the true ambassador of Christ is ready, he's equipped for service in the kingdom. Kingdom business comes first and foremost in the life of an ambassador. And I'm going to show you that as true ambassadors, we have to really understand God chose you when you choose him. And I'm learning just because, and we talked about it this morning. If you missed Bible class, you missed it. Many are called, Jesus said, but only a few are chosen. And the question is, are you one of the few? I plan to be the F in the few. Amen. Full of the whole. Come on, y'all. Yeah, I know where you were going. I want to be full of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul here in this text here reminds the believer that God has chosen us for a particular reason. John chapter 15 and round about verse number 16. Jesus says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordain you." Now, you see, these are some words that we don't want to mess with, because these words here requires a different level of thinking. Do you not know God has ordained you to save the world? Oh, yeah. You didn't need no right hand of fellowship from this one. You don't need to be voted in by this one. No, God ordained you when he chose you, when you chose to go into this watery grave. Now that you've come out of the watery grave, he has ordained you to proclaim the gospel to everybody you come in contact with. And you know something? It blows me away how easy it is to talk about the weather. Amen. Anybody in here know how to talk about the weather? Boy, you can talk about the weather. But how often do we talk about Jesus? Only if something comes up. But the believer has to elevate himself beyond that. Paul here, Jesus reminds us, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you. That's some powerful passage of scripture there, because Jesus here reminds the people of God. God has chosen us. He has given us a job to do. And the question is, do we do the job? How long would you be on your job if you didn't do your job? You know, you ever got a pink slip? Can you imagine God giving you a pink slip in the day of judgment? Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21. In that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not in thy name cast out devils? Did we not in thy name do many wonderful works? And you know what he's going to say? Pink slip. Depart. It's not that I don't know you. I never knew you. Why? Because I gave you a task and you didn't fulfill the task. In this lesson text here, the Apostle Paul talks about an ambassador, an individual that understands and recognizes his responsibility and his duty to God. Joshua reminds the people of God of this very thing, that because God has done all of these wonderful works for you, and he will continue to do all of these wonderful works, shouldn't you make a decision on what you're going to do for him?
Amen.
Amen. God has blessed us all beyond measure. Amen. I don't care what condition you in, whether it be physically, mentally, God has blessed you to be part of his kingdom. Is it hard to make a decision on who you're going to serve? No, but it is. And I'm going to show you that the people of God had the same problem that you and I have. Some 2,000 years later, we're struggling with the same issues that Israel had. They served God on Sunday morning and forgot about it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Amen, Walls. But not us. No, not us, okay? Joshua chapter 24. And look at verse number 13. Look at what Joshua reminds the children of God. They've crossed the Jordan. Joshua is told to seek these men out, to go spy out the land. He chose 12 men to spy out the land. And these 12 men went and they saw these big people, but they came back with all this fruit and stuff. And he said, the land truly is flowing with milk and honey. But we got a problem. Ain't that us? Ain't that us? We got a problem there. There's some tall folk over there. Amen. And we're like grasshoppers in their sight. Now, God has already told them, go take the land wherever your feet step on, it belongs to you. Whatever you do in the land, it belongs to you. Let me tell you something. You didn't plant a vineyard. You didn't work in the vineyard. You got all of this stuff that I'm going to give you because you belong to me. God gives us everything that we can imagine. And all he asks us to do is to love one another. And that's hard to do. And you know why it's so hard? Because we really don't love him. Ooh, y'all quiet, I'm sorry. That's not part of my lesson. That's not part of my lesson, but that don't cost you nothing. But church, it's very powerful to understand that these people had the same problem when it came to serving God. And I want to show you what the preacher here says to those people then. Same thing I'm telling you. He's going to tell them the same thing. Joshua chapter 24, verse 13. The Bible says, and I have given you a land which you did not labor, a city which you did not build, and you dwell in them, and of a vineyard and of a vineyard, which you plant not, but you do eat. Boy, isn't God good? God is good. And Joshua here has to remind God's people of what God has done. Because, you know, as a result of this, what's going to happen? You're going to wonder. You ever wonder why we wonder so much in 2019? Some of us are still in the wilderness. Don't even know it. Some of us are still lost. Ooh, y'all looking at me funny, so I'm going to go on with this lesson. Because, church, it's important to understand before I get to the meat of the lesson. I ain't even gotten a lesson. This is our preliminary to get you to the lesson. Because ambassadors never look back. And I want you to keep that in mind because you're going to have some heartaches. Folks are going to talk about you. They're going to mistreat you. They're going to abuse you. But the true child of God, count that all. Or how do you get to the point where you can count everything that goes on wrong with you as joy? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And so he tells them in verse number 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him with sincerity and truth. Boy, I wish I had time to talk about that word sincere. My wife wants me to be sincere to her. Amen. Not just in her presence. But when that 3620, come on, y'all, work with me this morning. When that passed by me, she wants me to be. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The rest of y'all going on back wherever you at. But she wants me to be sincere. And so Joshua here reminds the people of God, if you're going to serve him, you got to be sincere in serving him. Amen. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46. Jesus said, why would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? You know, sincerity. And then he didn't stop there. He uses this word A-N-D. You smart people, help me out. What's that called? Oh, I like y'all. That means it joins something together. See, you can't be sincere to God if you don't know the truth. Amen. You can't be sincere to God if you don't follow the truth. What is the truth? God requires each and every one of us to be an ambassador, to step up to the plate and help men out of darkness into this marvelous light. And so Joshua tells the people, serve God with sincerity and truth. And then he goes on to say, and, A-N-D, another conjunction, huh? And put away. We got some other gods. Anybody in here got another god? Yeah, but I know y'all don't want to testify. but if it ain't real, church, what does it really mean? What does it mean? It means absolutely nothing. Why is Joshua telling the people of God to put away their other gods? Isn't that what we preach on Sunday and Wednesday? And you know, that one-eyed monster, that Jim and Jack and all them other fellas, Mary and Jane, yeah, put away them other gods. And so he tells them to put away the other gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. The God of the Amorites, in whom land you dwell. And then Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If there's ever been a time that you and I need to step up and show the world that we are the ambassadors, the true ambassadors for Jesus Christ, look at the world in which we live in. See, I'm a firm believer that our past ought to push us to a higher plateau in our Christian walk. When I stop and take a survey of where I came from, I am so thankful that God sent somebody my way to help me out of darkness into a marvelous light. I am so thankful that I got brothers and sisters that look out for my care and just not nosy folk. Amen. And so Joshua here reminds the people of God that you must serve God with sincerity and with the truth. Philippians chapter 3 and round about verse number 13. Paul reminds the believers that we must constantly look forward as children of God. Look at what he says. Verse 13 says, brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. One translation says mature. So that tells me everybody in the house ain't mature. Amen. And he says, therefore, let as many of us be perfect, be thus minded in anything, otherwise God will even reveal that unto you. He says in verse 16, nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rules. Let us mind the same thing. Jesus calls us into service. And he wants us to be there without any excuse. Boy, I can remember when I used to work. Folks don't want to hear the truth. I'd be late going to the Marine base. I'd get in there and a supervisor say, you late, Stan? I said, yeah. He said, why you late, Stan? The train got you? I said, nope, just didn't want to come. Well, I can't write that down. Well, why can't you? I did want to come. Isn't it amazing how people want you to lie instead of telling the truth? Somewhere down the line, the believer has to stand on the truth and nothing but the truth. How do I do that? How do I get beyond making excuses in the sight of God? You know, it's easy to make an excuse with me. Oh, amen. That's why we got caller ID and call waiting and text, because it's easy to make that excuse. But there's no excuse in the sight of God. So how do I get beyond making excuses? Well, let me give you a real quick recipe. 2 Peter chapter 1 and round about verse number 5. This is how you get away from making excuses. I'm a firm believer that the more you attach the word of God in your everyday life, the least amount of excuses you need. Look at what Peter says. 2 Peter chapter 1 and round about verse number 5. He says, and besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you'll never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he who lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sin. And then Peter says, wherefore the rather, brother, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you don't make heaven your home, the only person you're going to have to blame is you. And I'm learning to put the blame where it belongs, on me. As we look at this ambassador, the ambassador is an example of who has called him into service. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 9 and round about verse number 35, the Bible says Jesus, when he went about all the city and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. As ambassadors, you have to choose to serve in order to serve. I better say that again. You have to choose to serve in order to serve. We must understand we have been called from darkness to light, and God does not expect us to give him any excuse. If he holds eternal life, if he holds our lives in our hand, you think there's anything that he don't know about? If he knows about everything, how many excuses can you give him before you own up that he knows? Let me show you some individuals. Luke chapter 9, show you three individuals here that gave God some excuse. Sound like us, huh? Anybody in here give God an excuse? I got one person. But look at what Jesus said. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead. You go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said also, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid farewell to them in my household. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looked back, is fit for the kingdom of God. That's why I told you an ambassador never, 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 never looks back. Because if he looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. I want to show you this morning the reason why the ambassador never looks back, because he equips himself to do what God requires. And the way he equips himself is he's equipped to move forward and never backwards. Some of you know where I'm going already. Ephesians chapter 6. Let me show you. This is the armor that the child of God must put on every single day. Just like you get up and brush your teeth. You do get up and and wash your face. Every morning we need to get up and put on the armor of God. Why? Because the battle is not with one another. The battle is with Satan and his devices. So Paul would say here in the church in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Spiritual, I ain't got time. Wickedness in high places. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil days. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." See, the ambassador knows how to move forward, and he can't move back because there's nothing protecting his back. Amen. I'm telling you, as ambassadors of Christ, we must constantly look at where we fit in God's plan to redeem man back to him. An ambassador is one that understands, that equips himself, that prepares himself for service in the kingdom. Question: what kind of ambassador are you? Have you prepared yourself? Are you equipping yourself? We live in a world that we're doing what we're doing. Somebody can bust through that door and get rid of all of us. Are we afraid? Are we petrified? Some folk don't even go to church because that can very thing can happen. And we come up in here, we got one eye on the preacher and the other eye on the back door. But the child of God equips himself on the cross because he knows at the cross, nothing can happen without the say-so of God. I want to ask us as ambassadors of God. This is how I view the ambassador. The ambassador of God is active. That's right. He's an active member. He's so active, he really believes and he really acts upon what he believes. Is that us? Huh? Do we really act upon what we believe? He's so in tune to what he believes. Guess what? He seeks the loss. That's right. His whole motivation, his whole makeup is to seek and save the loss. And as a product of that, he serves God the way God requires him to serve. And he is so in tune with service, guess what? He's assured of something. How assured are we? If death was to come right now, do you know where you're going? How confident are you that you've done what God requires of you? Not only, and he's so assured, guess what? He knows his duties. Huh? Not only do he know his duties, he knows his obligation. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been looking at, do I really know what an ambassador is? Because not only do he know his obligation, you know what? In the process of knowing his duties and his obligation, he learns something. What do you think he learns? He learns some reverence. Oh, yeah. What am I going to reverence? I learned how to reverence my Savior. Amen. I hope I've said something this morning that'll cause us to think. We are ambassadors of the Most High God. And God pleads through his son that you and I understand who we are. He wants us to be reconciled through his son. So in the last days, we can hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." God has called us from darkness to a marvelous light. He has transformed us from the power of darkness into a marvelous light. And the only way we stay transformed is we must keep our eyes focused on the cross. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your mind, set your affections on things above and not on things of earth. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him." An ambassador for God is an individual that never looks back. He's always moving forward because he understands the prize at the end of his journey. Hope I've said something to encourage your heart, church. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, I want to remind you that you and I have an awesome job, and that is to seek and to save the lost. Our job is to make sure that men, women, and boys and girls are not accountable on our head. Amen. We are watchmen for the world we live in. And I don't know about you. I don't want to stand before the judgment seat and have your blood on my hands. Amen. I don't want to have nobody's blood. It's going to be hard enough time to get the three people in me in there, let alone anybody else. Y'all ain't got three people. Some of y'all got more than that. But I hope I said something just to encourage your heart. Visiting this morning, I want to remind you, you've heard the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel talks about the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, Paul says, "You were once the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart the gospel which is able to save your soul." You've heard the word this morning, Romans 10, 17. The question is, do you believe what I've said? And if so, we'll bury you in water for the remission of your sin, and he adds you to the church, which is his body. And then I want to remind us as believers, Peter says it's best that you don't know the truth than to know it and to turn from it. I want to encourage us, remind us, let's stay busy. And I'm going to throw out the flowers to each and every one of us. We've been pretty busy this year. And I don't mean just busy. We're working on trying to encourage one another. We're working on trying to seek and save the lost. And we really shouldn't have to, but we already should be there. We ought to love one another, agape. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.